Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Rachel Culpepper of American Heritage Girls on raising godly girls.
We kind of boil it down to say that we're faith, service, and fun. And I think that's a really great way to say it. So we keep faith at the center. We're very committed to helping raise up servant leaders. So these girls are out serving in their communities, serving in their families. And then it's just lots of fun. Because if it's not fun, they're not coming back, right?
Rachel Culpepper next. American Heritage Girls is a faith-based, scout-type character development program for girls founded back in 1995. It's dedicated to building women of integrity through service to God, family, community, and country. Spencer Dahlke is with Rachel Culpepper, Executive Director of American Heritage Girls, to get the details.
Just to put the first question to you, I heard that the American Heritage Girls is celebrating 30 years this year.
Yeah.
Would you tell us a little bit about the mission and how it's changed over the years?
Absolutely. So American Heritage Girls is a Christ-centered character development program for girls ages 5 to 18. And that has stayed true since the very beginning. We are very committed to making sure that girls have a biblical worldview that they can apply to all corners of their lives. So our mission of building women of integrity has really only strengthened over the past 30 years. While we see other organizations, perhaps of our youth, that have chosen different directions, AHG has stayed very true to its mission. And honestly, our board of directors, with very much wisdom, built in some safeguards to make sure that things like our statement of faith and our mission, our creed, and our oath will stay in place, regardless of what the winds of culture might do. So we are committed to staying strong and staying on the path that the Lord has given us. Now, we try lots of new things, but we always stay core to those central values and keeping Christ at the center of all we do.
Considering that we're talking about culture today and like how you guys, you know, address parenting challenges and stuff like this, I did want to ask, I'm obviously a man. I have done a lot of research for myself on the marks of a godly man, unique challenges there. Would you tell us what you've maybe noticed that are unique challenges to women?
You know, one of the things that we're facing right now is a culture that would tend to tell us that our godly femininity or our girlhood, let's say, is not something that is unique or special, right? There's so many people that are trying to say, if you feel this way, you feel that way, it can change who you are. So we are here to say that, hey, God created women very specifically for a very specific purpose, and that should be something that is celebrated, that is honored. So we have that kind of thing going on, as well as this desire to pigeonhole, what does it look like to be a girl today? So if you don't like sparkles and frilly things, maybe you like to be outdoors and you like to go frog hunting and you like to do those things, our culture might try to tell you that you are not a girl. But AHG is here to say that, hey, God is very creative and he creates girls that like all sorts of things. And regardless of how God has created you, there is a place for you in AHG. And that's one of the things I love is that there's a badge for that. And there is literally a badge for anything that a girl is interested in. So a girl can really find this great sense of belonging within AHG. And women are created, I mean, I think all humans, but women in particular are created for community, right? Like we like to feel like we're part of a group, that we belong, that people see us and know us and love us. And so AHG is a great place where girls can go and find that connection, find that community, be part of a crew. And so AHG is really trying to help girls as they're dealing with all these things in culture, find a place that can feel like home and a place that is safe to fail in. A lot of things that girls are also dealing with are anxiety and this pressure to perform, right? We see the curated view of reality through social media and whatnot that makes it seem like not only is perfection achievable, but it's actually expected, which we know very well. We cannot be perfect. We are human. And so AHG is this place where girls can go. They can try things. They can learn how to fail well. Because I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more often it seems that I fail and I have to pick myself up and figure out what to do next. And that's a really important skill that a lot of our kids aren't learning. And so that's one of the things I love about AHG that I really feel like is helping girls, young women, shed that need for perfection and rather say, hey, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail with humility and courage and resilience, and I'm going to get up dust myself off and figure out where the Lord's bringing me next. So
the power of the gospel gives us freedom to, you know, it's not good to sin, obviously, but Christ is a sacrifice. You know, we can turn to him, right, and we find comfort in him. And that's, oh, you told us a little bit about badge work and this sort of thing. Can you tell us more about AHG programs and events and things that help parents in that raising godly girls?
Absolutely. So the way that our program is formulated is that we have troops across the country, and troops come alongside, usually it's a local church. Sometimes it might be a homeschool group or a private school, even a pregnancy care center every once in a while. And they charter these troops. So they really use HG as a ministry of their church, however they're going to try to reach girls in their community. And the HG curriculum really utilizes some of the scouting methodology that we've seen over centuries works really well to engage girls and teach them, but we're keeping Christ at the center. So you'll see camping and leadership and badges and service, but it all ties back to Christ. So we're teaching girls that all of these corners of your life can be connected with Christ, and that you can learn all these great skills, whether it's how to decorate a cake or how to start a fire, and you can use that to glorify the Lord. And so that's what I really love about the program. We kind of boil it down to say that we're faith, service, and fun. And I think that's a really great way to say it. So we keep faith at the center. We're very committed to helping raise up servant leaders. So these girls are out serving in their communities, serving in their families. And then it's just lots of fun, because if it's not fun, they're not coming back, right? So lots of great fun all across the country. We do have troops in all 50 states. We've even got some American Heritage girls overseas. So we have a Trailblazer program that's specifically designed for military or missionary families. So if a family finds themselves stationed overseas, they can do kind of an adapted part of the program for HG. And then when they're called back stateside, they have sort of like a just out of water community when they find their local AHG troop. So lots of fun things going on across the country. Right now, with it being fall, we're kind of finishing up our fall camporee season. So there's girls across the country that are having these weekend camps where they're doing all sorts of fun things. And so that's kind of the season we're in right now. And always something going on with a local AHG troop.
Your ministry, and I'm sure other ministries like Trail Life like to partner with parents to raise up children and this sort of thing. I did want to ask, to that point, over like the 30 years that American Heritage Girls has been a thing, how have you seen parenting change?
I mean, in those 30 years, I've become a parent, so I've realized firsthand the challenges that are happening, but I think parenting has become ridiculously difficult. Not only are there so many cultural things that we're just scratching our heads over, though I guess if we look back to history, this isn't the first time a lot of these things have popped up, but first time for our generation, right? So we're dealing with that, but we're also dealing with this competition between all the influences that our kids are having. They just have access to so much information right now, probably at levels we've never seen before, but a lot less actual access to wisdom. And so that's a big piece that we're kind of working through right now. These kids, whether it's through the cell phone, the computer, I mean, the World Wide Web. I don't know. When I was a little kid, I was going to like Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Like I didn't have access to all these things. So we are actually in the throes of a campaign called Embracing Wisdom, where we are trying to connect women who are 55 and older in the community, who have lived experience, who can share the way that God has been faithful to them over the years, who have great skills that aren't always passed on to younger generations, connect them with a local AHG troop so that these girls can not only have access to information, but access to wisdom and sort of that Titus II model and that multi-generational community that is so biblical, right? So we're seeing that that is a great resource for parents. In addition to our Embracing Wisdom campaign, we have a whole sub-brand called Raising Godly Girls, which you mentioned earlier, which includes a three-day-a-week podcast, a series of ebooks, and a one-minute radio feature. And really the intent for this is to offer scripturally based parenting resources on cultural topics. So we'll take a topic like gender and identity or resilience, and we'll offer parents a guide on like, okay, what is actually going on in the culture right now? Like, what do you need to know as far as vocabulary goes or trends or things like that? And then we offer them scripture and we offer them talking points. Like, how do you bring this up to your daughter? And how do you have this conversation? So really trying to come and meet parents where they are, because this is a really difficult time to raise up kiddos. So I'm really excited about both Embracing Wisdom and Raising Godly Girls as we come alongside both families and churches to raise up godly girls.
My guest today is Rachel Culpepper. She's the executive director of American Heritage Girls, the co-host of the podcast Raising Godly Girls. We live in a particular time, which is sort of encouraging seeing young adults starting to turn back towards religion. You know, they're going back to church and things like this. Yep. I imagine probably these people are going to be too old to actually participate in the program, but they'll probably be parents sometime soon.
Yes.
What advice would you give to some of these young, soon-to-be parents who are new to the faith to raise their children?
Scripture. I mean, just get into the Word and really consume it, digest it, you know, really understand Scripture, because so many things, regardless of what new things culture is going to throw at us, we have the unchanging, everlasting God who offers us insight and wisdom if we will just stop long enough to actually read what He says. And so I think just really that biblical worldview to offer an anchor for our kiddos. I think so often culture would tell them, oh, it's just how you feel, or all these changing sands, right? Like, what an unnerving place to be, where who I am changes with how I feel. My emotions change rapidly. And if that was what I was anchored to, that would be a really scary place to be. So I think making sure that those roots are deep, that there is an anchor that is solid, that's going to help you stay firm regardless of what storms come by, because we can't anticipate what culture is going to bring next. But if we are firmly rooted in Scripture and we have a strong biblical worldview, then we're set. We've got that anchor and we've got something that we can look towards and say, you know what, regardless of what's swirling around me, I'm on solid ground. So I think that would be my number one piece of encouragement, is just dig deep into Scripture, know it, digest it. That way you'll be ready.
Going back a little earlier, a question I didn't think to ask when I was talking about maybe the marks of a godly woman, what that looks like. Something I've been thinking about in our culture, you know, there's still kind of a presence of like the LGBTQ community saying your body doesn't really matter. And Christians have been saying, well, it does. God gives you a body and it helps define your sexuality. But my question is, do you think it just ends there? Do you think God has unique call for women and gives them a body to fit that call? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of what we talk about in HG, and we do not get into the sexual education or anything like that of children, but we do talk about it is great to be a girl. God has created you with a body that can actually carry life. What a gift and what a privilege. And so really talking through that design, because so often culture would try to say that that's actually a burden, or that's really just an inconvenience, but really it's a gift. And what an honor it is that we are given a body that can do that. So we really try to celebrate with our girls, not only their identity in Christ, but also the physical form that He has given us, even just so much as teaching them how to take care of it well. You know, how do we care for this temple that He's given us, that the Holy Spirit resides in, right? Like, how do we care for that? And how do we honor it as something that was formed in our mother's womb very specifically? And what a miracle that is. So we do align a lot with Respect Life. We have a whole Respect Life patch that is really a way for girls to not only learn about how beautifully and wonderfully made they are, but also how can we go out and help support moms who maybe have an unplanned pregnancy and help them choose life? How do we go and serve at an elder care facility and say that you still have dignity and worth, and what a precious gift you are? So we really try to help girls understand that life is precious from cradle to grave, and how they can go out into their community and help just support that cause. So really trying to teach girls a holistic view of what it means to be created in the image of God.
What do you think are some common challenges that parents face today and in this particular culture?
Hey, and how long do we have, right? Like, there's so many. I think a lot of them, though, end up being rooted in identity, in understanding who you are and whose you are. And so I think that is one of our biggest challenges, because culture will tell us one thing, scripture tells us another. I think also just the rate at which culture is changing, but also that information is flowing, can be a big challenge. So often, you know, we try to surround our girls with safe spaces, right? So whether we choose to homeschool or the church that we go to or fill in the blank, and we try to keep them protected. But what we're finding is that often parents are the last ones to a conversation. And so we are really finding like parents need to be proactive about approaching these cultural topics before culture does, right? Like we need to be the first ones in the conversation. And so I think that's a challenge that parents are facing now, that kids are getting information quicker than they used to. And sometimes we're a little late to the punch, so to speak. So we're really been a lot in Raising Godly Girls, trying to equip parents to be on offense, not just on defense. Like we just can't be protecting our girls. We actually have to be proactively engaging them and equipping them and helping them understand what they're going to face, so it's not a surprise and we're not the last ones into the conversation. But yeah, I could go on and on about all the topical things. You know, some of the Raising Godly Girls ebooks that we've done so far: resilience, fear and anxiety, gender and identity, biblical worldview, peace in times of conflict. I mean, there's things going on all over the world that our kids are hearing about. So there's lots that we could talk about.
You're so right. And you even mentioned social media too. It can be a real trouble with, I've talked to so many people before about how, you know, social media, not only is it like addictive, it's bad for the brain, but also like they can be very predatory for our kids. Yeah. So there's a lot, really. Yeah.
And social media is especially harmful to girls and young women. You know, there's so much there with identity and just this perfection culture and things like that. So it is definitely something that is extremely harmful, and it's here to stay. Let's be honest, like it is here. And so really teaching our kids, how do we interact with that in a way? So often we take tools and then they become something else, right? So how do we make this a tool rather than some sort of an addiction or, to your point, a predatory thing? And how do we engage in that and teach them how to encounter that well? When to know, like, what are the signs to know when you need to take a break from social media, when you need to fast from that? What are the signs that this is getting a little upside down on my priorities? And so, you know, so often we want to draw this line in the sand and say, no, none of this. But sometimes what we need to do is, okay, if you're going to engage, here is a healthy way to do that. And there are ways that you can glorify the Lord through social media. Lots of evangelists using that, spreading the gospel through social media. But you've got to be wise and you've got to be ready to set up boundaries, guardrails, all the things. So
can you share for us maybe a success story of a girl or a family who's transformed by being a part of this ministry?
I have the privilege of reviewing the Stars and Stripes Award, which is a girl's highest award that she can earn in AHG. Part of what she does, in addition to a lot of badge work, is a 100-hour service project where she's going out into her community, identifying a need, then figuring out a way that she can help meet that need and fundraise and all the things. And part of what they do after they finish their project is what's called a spiritual walk essay, where these girls really pause for a second and they reflect on how they can see God moving in their lives and where they feel like he's leading them. And I will tell you what, if you ever are feeling hopeless about the next generation, these are the things that you need to read, because these young ladies have such hope and such passion for the Lord and honestly such spiritual maturity. I am inspired every time that I read them. And so many of them credit that closeness to the Lord, that HG has been a vehicle to that, because their leaders have been pointing them back to the Lord. Their friends have been pointing them back to the Lord. They figured out that when they fail during their project, that God is still there and he's still got their back and still loves them. And so it's so wonderful just to see the way that these girls are maturing spiritually because of a lot of the experiences that they're having in American Heritage Girls. And then they're turning around and being the hands and feet of Jesus in their communities. Whether we see a lot of girls who will go in and help. I mean, just the other day, we saw someone go in and create a whole sensory playground for a preschool that served children with special needs. I mean, these girls think big. They do big projects, but love the heart of service that they have to see a need and meet it. So really encouraging things going on. And we often hear stories from parents where the mom was like, well, we joined for my daughter, but we might be staying in for me because I have gained this whole community of like-minded moms who are here supporting me through this journey of parenthood. I'm learning new skills. I'm getting to spend quality time with my daughter. So it's just been really awesome to be able to hear these stories and just see the transformation that is going on, not only in girls' lives, but families and then therefore communities as well. So such an honor to see the way that the Lord is working through AHG.
Are there any particular moments from your work with AHG that God has kind of ministered to your soul?
Oh, I mean, I think every day there's something that goes on. But I will tell you a story about a volunteer. I've never actually got the opportunity to personally meet her, but just through her stories and interactions. But she won our Volunteer of the Year award a couple of years back, and she was 80 years old. And she didn't have any granddaughters or daughters in the troop. She just wanted to give back to her community. And she was leading a group of pioneers, I believe it was. And this was when she was 79. And they wanted to go camping. She had never been camping in her life. And she said, okay. And she takes these girls out, thinking about my own self in my mid-40s, having to roll out of a tent in the morning. And here's a 79-year-old who is willing to go out and sleep in a tent in order to just love on these girls and offer them great opportunities. And those are the kind of stories that I'm just like, wow, like, this is amazing, the community that's being built and just the people that are loving on these girls so that we can have hope in that next generation because they are being shown what it looks like to be a woman of God and to live with integrity. So that always, I'm like, okay, I need to be that 79-year-old who's willing to go try something new because of these girls.
What vision do you have for the organization's future and supporting the next generation?
You know, I'm very much committed to staying true to AHG's roots and figuring out how we can take this program of faith, service, and fun to more communities. We really want to look at how we can make the program more accessible, especially to families in urban and rural areas. AHG does pretty well right now in suburbia, but we want to expand because we think that there are families all over the country that are looking for tools and resources to raise up godly girls. So we're really excited to explore new avenues in that regard. We're also excited to continue to expand our Raising Godly Girls brand because we feel like parenting resources are just really important right now. So we want to continue to come alongside parents and churches as they're doing the hard work in the communities, right? And of course, we're committed to increased high adventure. Those are the kind of things that keep the girls coming back. So we want to keep the girls getting out there. And so we're just really like our biggest hope is just to stay in the center of God's will, right? And so if that leads us to the mountain or the valley or somewhere in between, we will be pleased as long as we are following his lead. But we just believe that there are a lot more girls out there that could benefit from a ministry that teaches them about their identity in Christ, that teaches them how to fail well, that teaches them lots of adulting kind of skills, you know, cooking, camping, yard work, all the things, and then just fosters this servant leadership heart. So we're just excited to bring that to more families across the country. So
is there anything else you'd want to say about this ministry that I haven't asked about?
Sure. I would say if any of the listeners want to learn about where maybe their local AHG troop might be, if they visit AmericanHeritageGirls.org, there is a Find a Troop button up in the right-hand corner. And if you click on that, it'll bring you to a map where you can pop your zip code in, and it'll let you know where your closest troop is. And if for some reason there isn't a troop nearby, there is also a little button to click to get more information about starting a troop. So if you know of a local church or a homeschool co-op, private school, it's pretty easy to get a troop started, and it'll definitely be a benefit to your community. And we have a whole team of staff that are ready and waiting to help walk people through that initial chartering process, answer lots of questions, and get people excited about bringing AHG to their community.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Rachel Culpepper, Executive Director of American Heritage Girls. Go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Mark Hancock, as we find out about the Trail Life Outdoor Program for boys.
You know, we use adventure, character growth, and leadership opportunities to grow boys into godly men. And we also surround them with godly men. We have a male-centric culture.
That's tomorrow at this same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.